Let's get the Olympia legislative update now with Senate Republican leader John Braun. Senator Braun, thank you for joining me here on The Morning Ride.
Thanks for having me on.
A couple of days left in the legislative session. First set of questions is we're talking about the tax hikes and the budget. So where do we stand on those two items?
Well, two things. First, there's a lot of them when you talk about tax hikes, and they're widespread and they're expensive. Right now, as they introduced them, they're about $13.5 billion over the next 4 years, plus another $5 billion in local taxes, so $18.5 billion. Those have been whittled down. We've been going after them through committees, both in the House and the Senate. I'd say we have them whittled down a little bit, not anything I'm super proud of, but right. Probably down below $10 billion and probably $2.5 to $3 billion in local taxes. Still, by far the largest tax increase in our state's history. It will be devastating for our economy. A few of them have passed off both chambers and are going through concurrence.
Okay.
At least a couple are still in committee in the Senate, but we're fighting them at every step of the way, but the Democrats seem intent on destroying our state's economy.
Yeah, they do not seem to understand the impact of what they're doing, at least if they're saying one thing, that we have to make Washington more affordable or more livable, and then they kind of keep jacking up the cost of doing business, the cost of living in the state of Washington. A couple of days ago, there's a Senate bill to hike the fee, aka the tax, on liquor sales licenses, and it would hike that cost to a restaurant, a brewery, a distillery, a winery, a caterer, by 50%. There were five Democrats in the Senate that joined you and the Republicans to vote no on that tax hike, but it still passed by one vote, 25-24. What did you think of those five Democrats that chose to vote no on that tax hike?
Well, I mean, I certainly appreciate them standing up for the constituents. This is going to directly impact the cost of services, cost of alcohol or going out to eat.
Yeah, all
in
those
our
operations.
State. And they may just make it harder for those operations to survive. You're going to see fewer of them make it. It's already a tough business to be in. And I was happy to see them vote with us. I would have liked to seen one more and not added yet another layer of cost to Washington State's economy.
Yeah. When that floor debate is going on and you end up with either a couple of those Democrats speaking out to say, you know what, going to be opposed to it. And I don't know if they actually physically did that in the floor session or if they just stayed quiet and then cast their vote no at the end. Are there moments when you're having floor debates like that on this one where the vote was so close, 25-24, where somebody can be persuaded, or is this all fait accompli that the Democrats know they've got the votes to get it passed, and if they let a couple of their Democratic caucus members vote against it, then they can have that in their back pocket?
I'm more inclined to think it's the latter. We've been in this situation before in the Senate in previous years where we had the votes to stop things, but they've been running pretty roughshod over their members. They don't bring it to the floor unless they've locked them down. And here's the thing that you nailed it. The thing that gives it away is, and they may vote with us, but they don't stand up and speak against it. Whether they don't really believe it or they're cowed into not talking by their Democratic colleagues, I don't know. But you can tell that they're already decided they're not going to offer enough votes to actually stop the bill when they don't speak up and say and explain why they're voting against it, why this is bad for their district or for Washington.
You had a press conference availability, regularly do, down there with reporters following the legislative session. A couple days ago, you mentioned that it had been 18 days of Democrats cutting off Republicans from involvement in this whole budget process that is the final stretch run of every legislative session, and that's what we're in now with just a little over 2 days remaining in this legislative session. You said that the Democrats have singled out, you had singled it out, that the last 18 days Democrats have cut off Republicans from involvement in the process. Can you shed a little bit more light on what you meant by that?
Once both chambers, the House and the Senate, passed their version of the budget, they got a couple options. They can negotiate and open, and they can pass, you know, updated versions back and forth periodically. That's typically how we worked during when the Republicans had a majority in the Senate and the Democrats in the House. Or they can go into conference. And I'd be candid. And sometimes conference doesn't matter. It's a small difference, and it only lasts a few days. In this case, because of the pushback on the taxes and the governor's position, we knew there were going to be big changes. And we knew that going into conference, and it was going to be 3 weeks. It's been over 3 weeks now. Any discussion at all about the budget? We have no idea. It's going to come out. Looks like it'll be come out Saturday after over 3 weeks of silence and no opportunity to amend it. Just an up or down vote. The public won't get any input and will be significantly changed from what they saw in public. So it's a bad process in this situation, and they know it. If they were in the opposite situation, they would be screaming about this, Howling, because nobody knows what's going on.
So this is one of the things that I think underscores my argument that this is what's so dysfunctional about politics in the state of Washington. What needs to be done to correct this? Or is this just a matter of the Democrats need to be more transparent?
Well, they certainly need to be more transparent. They like to talk about transparency, but they don't like to practice it. You want better outcomes from Olympia. You want less impact. You want less sheer exercise of political power. You have to have more balance in Olympia. It's as simple as that. You need more Republicans and fewer Democrats.
Well, I mean, if I'm hearing your answer there, this would seem to me to be an example of Democrats don't want any attention on what they do down there. I was lamenting this a little bit earlier on the show here on the Morning Ride. I'm your host, Phil Vandervoort. I have put in a variety of different requests to Democratic representatives and senators in the legislature, and all of them come back with the either same answer or no answer. Sometimes I don't even get the courtesy of a response to say, sorry, can't make it, don't have time. The email request just never gets a response at all. But the other ones are, nope, not going to be able to talk. And it would seem to me that this is the continuing case that Democrats just don't want to bring any attention to the things that they're doing in the Olympia legislature.
That's right, because they're working at odds with the preferences of the people of the state of Washington. The polls show that, voting patterns show that. You know, they're driving up the cost of living, and this tax, we talked a little bit about the taxes. You know, notice they waited, it's a 15-week session. They didn't really roll them out until week 15 or week 10. Yeah. And then once they kind of blew up, a week and a half later, they rolled out a whole new set and pushed them through the legislature in just a week and a half. That's not nearly enough time to vet what is going to end up being over $10 billion in new taxes in our state. It's just the wrong way to do that. But they know that if they don't go quickly, that the people will speak up. We saw that very clearly with the property tax. People are very concerned about increasing property tax, and that actually got turned around after only a couple weeks of public scrutiny. I think they see that happen with a number of other taxes. If they gave it more transparency, that's why they're not willing to do this. Sheer political power and dark of night operations.
Senate Republican Leader John Braun joining me here on the Morning Ride on Talk Radio 570 KVI about the final days of the legislative session. Procedurally, tactically, are there options for putting together statewide initiatives on any of these tax hikes that the Democrats are pushing through and getting it to a vote of the people? I mean, obviously, you have to have somebody who's willing to organize and undertake an initiative. But legislatively, procedurally, are there any of these tax hike bills that are immune from the statewide initiative process?
Well, they're not immune from the initiative process, but they have made them, almost every one of them, immune from the referendum process, which is, you know, they have three options in the state of Washington. You have an initiative to the people, you have an initiative to the legislature, and you also have a referendum, which means if the majority passes a bill for considerably fewer signatures, the people can put it on the ballot to undo that bill. And they've been very careful to prohibit the people from doing that by including emergency clauses on every one of them. So they're hiding behind a emergency clause or a section of the Constitution so they don't have to face public scrutiny. Because the reality is, it's very time consuming. It's very expensive to get an initiative on the ballot. Yeah. And they're hoping that the people, will organize and do that. Right. I'm not sure they're right about that.
Yeah.
This level of taxation, we'll see.
And I guess the other side of that coin would be, as an example, Let's Go Washington has undertaken some of these statewide initiatives in the past. And it would be very difficult to undertake an initiative to deal with the vast majority of, I listed 16, I think it was last hour, tax hike bills in the Olympia legislative session right now. It would be difficult to undertake a statewide initiative to hit all 16. So then you'd have to pick and choose, all right, which ones are the ones that are most significant ones, which ones are the ones that the majority of voters here in Washington State would say, you know what, that one's a bad idea. Senator Braun, next question would be, at this point, is it time for Washingtonians who know that this is going to be a massive crunch financially on them to have to deal with these variety of tax hikes that the Democrats are passing? Is it time for them to start lobbying Governor Bob Ferguson and start to push Bob Ferguson to reject or veto some of these tax hikes?
I think that's a great idea. I think that, I didn't expect it a few months ago, but to his credit, Governor Ferguson has pushed back on the tax increases. He's been very clear on a couple of the tax increases that he thought were a bad idea, and they've kind of come off the table. But he hasn't been clear on some of the other ones. The sales tax increase that's going to hit every single Washingtonian. They have a kind of a new version of the property tax increase. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about. He hasn't been clear on that. He hasn't been clear on the business and occupation tax that nobody pays directly, no individual person, but businesses pay it and they get turned, passed on in the cost of higher goods. So I think that he deserves encouragement to say no. This is too much. Too many new taxes for the state of Washington.
Yeah, that has been the maybe unexpected part of Governor Bob Ferguson's tenure so far, is that he has been at least a bit of a moderating force on tax hikes, certainly compared to the majority in the Democratic majority in the state legislature. All right. One other thing that I think came up in Bob Ferguson's campaign was he wanted to put more cops on the streets. Has anything developed in the Olympia legislative session regarding that campaign promise that Bob Ferguson talked about?
Yeah, it's moving forward, and this is one of the unknowns in the budget. That's what will tell the real difference. There was a bill passed that allowed a path both for additional state funding and for some additional local funding to support law enforcement and get more law enforcement officers on the street across our state. But in the end, we don't know if it'll work until we see what they put in the budget. He was pretty clear that he needed to see $100 million, and which is a lot of money to you and I, but in the court,
that's a tiny amount of money.
It is very affordable. So we'll see. I guess we'll all find out tomorrow. He was very clear that has to be in there. We'll see if the Democrat majorities respond to that positively, and if he sticks to his word to veto a budget that doesn't include that.
Okay, and then the final question, I hope this is a quick one, I think it could be. If Governor Ferguson decides, you know what, some of these tax hikes are just a little too much, I'm going to veto some of them, would that most likely end up triggering a special session and the legislature would have to come back together to deal with what was vetoed?
Probably is what I'd say. Yeah. If you just sit around the margins, maybe not, but probably we'd need to come back and re-rack.
Okay. All right. We'll see what kind of fortitude Governor Bob Ferguson has, or if he's going to pass along all these costs to everybody in Washington. We're hearing from Senate Republican Leader John Braun down in the Olympia Legislature. Senator Braun, thank you very much. I wish you the best in the final 48 hours to 58 hours that you've got to deal with down in the Olympia Legislature with the majority Democrats.
All right, thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we will talk soon. Thank you very much for the time this morning. Senate Republican Leader John Braun from Lewis County there joining me on the morning ride here. Hopefully that gets everybody a solid update on where things stand in the Olympia Legislature right now.